Scripture reading. We're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, all the way through chapter 6, verse 2. The words will be on the screen. Let's go ahead and read it in unison together. Let's begin. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. And may the Lord add His blessing to His holy word. You may be seated. Amen. Take out your Bibles if you haven't already. I invite you to turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are actually on our last of the series in recovery that we've been doing for the last several weeks. And in your bulletin on the backside of the baby shower for Birthright is an outline that will go along with the sermon if you find that helpful. So I invite you to take that and follow along with me. Would you take a moment and pray with me, please? Father, we come now to Your Word, Lord, and we ask that You'd speak to us. Lord, we have sought to draw near to You through worship, through music, through the fellowship and the prayers. And Lord, we ask now that Your Holy Spirit will open our hearts, teach us, enlighten our mind and our understanding. May the eyes of our heart be opened to understand the depth of Your love for each one of us, Lord. May we also hear Your call, Your challenge to us. So, Father, we commit this time to You. In Christ's name, amen. Hi, my name is Tom, and that was weak. Try that again. Thank you. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm in recovery. I'm recovering from my flesh, from my sinful nature. In fact, every Christian, every person who has come to Jesus Christ is in recovery, whether they know it or not. We are all recovering from our flesh, our sinful nature. And that process is transformation, change. In the Scriptures, the theological term for it is sanctification. God is changing us, every one of us. He is changing us into the image of Christ. He is molding us more and more and more into the image of Christ, and by so doing, we overcome our flesh, our sinful nature. God's changing me. I'm not the person that I once was. Today, I'm not the person that I was yesterday, because every day is a new and a fresh day for the Lord's grace and forgiveness in our lives. Amen? Every one of us can experience a new day every day as we come to the Lord humbly, admitting our need and asking Him for His help and His grace and His forgiveness afresh. We began this series because a few weeks back, a couple of months back, actually, we began again the ministry of Celebrate Recovery. And that meets here Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Celebrate Recovery is a Christian 12-step ministry that deals with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And it is open for anyone There are people who come that aren't necessarily in our congregation, but we're very glad that God is using this ministry under the leadership of Matt and Melissa to reach out to folks all over this area. And so we're excited about what God is doing. And so we began this recovery series because the principles of recovery apply to every one of us as Christians generally. They come right from the Scripture, and so they apply to each one of us. But they also apply specifically to someone who's dealing with a hurt, habit, or a hang-up. But we began in Romans chapter 7 weeks ago, and we looked verses 22 through 25, and the main point for all of these sermons comes right from Romans 7, 22 through 25, and it's this, that I must realize that I'm not God, and I am powerless to change myself, to change my sinful nature, that tendency that I have within to do the wrong thing. I'm powerless to change that in my own strength. But through the power of Jesus Christ, I can be transformed and overcome. Through the power of Jesus Christ in my life and your life, we can be overcomers. We can change. We can be transformed. God says, for nothing is impossible with Him. And so we began to break that down. And just for a point of review, we're going to go through this quickly. We use an acronym, RECOVERY, and we looked at the principles. Number one was the R, was that I must realize I'm not God and admit that I'm powerless to control myself, to change myself and control that tendency to do the wrong thing. You must come to a realization that you cannot change yourself, that it is only through the power of Jesus Christ that you can be changed and transformed. And so we looked at the fact that I may have stuck in my flesh a controlling hurt, habit, or hang-up. The world around us today calls it an addiction. But, you know, what happens is, unfortunately, when we think of addiction, we think of only, you know, like the three big ones, right? We think of alcohol or illegal drugs or even prescription drugs. We think of those. But the truth of the matter is addictions can come in many, many forms. It can be a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, or an addiction of some sort. And that might have made my life become unmanageable. I must come to a place of recognizing what's going on in my life. I have to take stock. I have to take inventory. And if I will not be honest with myself, then there's really not much God can do for me until I come to that place of admitting and asking His help. And so number two was the E. I must earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him. What a beautiful song that Brittany Mark sang it at the offering time. Oh, how He loves you. He really does. He loves you and me. And He has come to give us the help that we need. He has the help, the power to help me recover through Jesus Christ. Number three was the C. To consciously choose to commit all of my life and my will to Christ's care and control. This is the issue of surrender. I must surrender my life daily to Christ. This is ongoing yielding and surrender. We looked at Romans 8, verses 12 through 15, about the obligation for us to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Number four was the O in recovery, to openly examine and confess my sins and my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Wow. Yeah, you have to put flesh to your confession. Now, unfortunately, In some of the, what we might call ritualistic churches, it's been replaced, this practice of confessing our sins to one another has been replaced, you know, with the ritual of confession. And unfortunately, we have lost that beautiful part of the Christian faith where we confess our sins to one another, it says in James 5:18, that I might be healed, that God might make me whole. It is a mutual confession and praying for one another that we might be whole. That's how God set it up. Then we looked at the V. Number five was the V, to voluntarily submit to any and all changes that God wants to make in my life. Oh, you mean I have to change? Yeah. All of us have to change. You see, if we're not willing, if we're not voluntarily submitting to God making those changes, not much will happen. God will work to make us willing. And He even gives us the desire, changes our heart. We must want to change. And then we ask Him and submit. Six is the E. in recovery. We evaluate all of our relationships. We offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, make amends for harm that I've done to others when possible, except when to do so would harm them or others. We looked at the fact that the Scripture calls us to encourage and build one another up. And so we asked the question, you know, the peeps that I'm hanging with, are they encouraging and building me up? Am I able to encourage and build them up? And if it's a no, if they're a bad influence on me, if they're leading me astray, if they're leading me to do those things that I know I should not do and they're a bad influence, I need to make some changes. I need to draw back from them until I can be strong enough to withstand their influence and that temptation. Oh, Pastor, you mean I have to give up my friends? It's not an issue of giving up my friends as much as understanding the calling that God has on my life to follow Him and to change. And if there's a roadblock in the way, if there's someone that's causing me to stumble by their influence, I need to draw back from that for a time until I get stronger. Then last week, we looked at the seventh point, which is the R, that we're to reserve time with God for self-examination, Bible reading and prayer, in order to know God and His will for my life, and to gain the power to follow His will. You and I have to reserve time with God daily to seek Him, to read His Word, to speak with Him, and allow Him to speak to us. We looked at the Psalms, and we looked throughout the Scriptures. One of the Psalms, 119, 105, says this, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." How many people have seen the bumper sticker where it says, "Don't follow me, I'm lost too"? Yeah, you don't want to follow somebody that has their bumper sticker like that. That would be a clue. But the fact is, if you lack light in your life, direction in your life, let God's Word give you direction. Let God's Word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And He'll do that. He will speak to you if you'll give Him that opportunity. Someone came to me just a few weeks ago, and someone who is fairly new in following the Lord, and you know, they had really struggled with getting into and reading God's Word. And they kept asking the question, "Hey, Pastor, I've heard so many people say, you know, that God speaks to them, and I just don't experience that." And I said, "You need to get into the Word." I kept saying it over and over again, "You need to get into the Word." Well, finally, this person got into the Word. They began to read the Word. They came to me and they said, "Pastor, you're right. God is actually speaking to me. I didn't think He would. Listen, God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you come here dressed in jeans and a t-shirt or a suit and tie. He still loves you, Joe. Just want you to, you know, loosen up a little bit. Don't be so stiff. He doesn't care what you wear. He doesn't care where you've come from. He's no respecter of persons. And if you'll get into His Word, He will speak to you. He will speak to you personally." Now, before we get into the main point today, I want us to pick up on the passage of Scripture. We read it, and I want us to read again, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18a. And this section in the passage that we read says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ." Let me ask a question this morning as we start out. Are you a new creation? Have you experienced the grace of God in your life where you can say, I'm not there yet. I'm not totally transformed, but I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now that does not mean that you're perfect. In fact, I believe on this side of heaven, we are always going to struggle with something because we're kind of like Shrek. Christians have layers. Oh, I guess it's like an onion. I messed that all up. See, I'm trying to be cute and smart, and I'm really dumb. Anyway, we are like an onion, Christians. There's layers to us. And God begins to deal with one layer of our flesh. And He peels that off and He deals with us. And yes, just like an onion, there's times when it's painful. There's times when we cry. It makes our eyes water. It makes our head hurt. It stinks. What, y'all didn't think your flesh stinks? Let me tell you something. Your flesh and my flesh stinks. Sometimes there's some nasty stuff that comes up out of our flesh. Can I get an amen? I mean, it's amazing. You can be doing really, really well in the Lord. You can be just, oh man, God is so good. I'm doing so well. Thank you, Lord. And all of a sudden, boom, man, you do something that's just ugly, nasty, sinful. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm just as guilty. Don't think I'm up here on a pedestal. But there's layers, and God will deal with that layer. And then guess what's under that layer? Another layer. And what's under that one? Another layer. And He deals with us in this way. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have to deal with us all at once? All these things that are wrong in our life all at once? We wouldn't be able to handle it. If God showed us all the things that was wrong in our life all at once, man, how discouraged and how, you know, dismaying that would be for us. And so, my question to you this morning, as the Scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what word does it say? Anyone is in Christ. He is a new creation. He or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Are you a new creation? Have you been reconciled to God through Christ? You and I must personally repent of our sin. We must personally turn in faith to Jesus Christ and give Him the right to control and take over my life. You see, it's not just about, you know, God bless me. You know, I'm coming to You, Lord, so that You can meet my needs and bless me and make me rich and wealthy and healthy and wise. That, you know, God does want to bless us. But that's not the primary motivation for coming to Christ. Here's why. I know this is a little bit of a side sermon here. I won't even charge for this. It's a little side sermon. You see, if you come to Christ on that basis, and there's a lot of people, in this, especially in this country today, that are coming to Christ on this basis. Oh, you need to come to Christ because, man, He's gonna fulfill every dream you have. And He's gonna do things in your life that are just absolutely incredible. Well, you know what? Some of those incredible things that He'll do, in human thinking, in human perspective, will not be so much fun. You just take a look at Paul's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, I've had more than all of you. He said, I've been beaten with the rod 40 times minus 1, 39. I've had sleepless nights. I've been in sickness and in weakness. I've been impoverished. I've gone without clothing, without shelter. You know? That doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun to me. And see, if you come to the Lord on the basis of, you know, everything's going to be great and wonderful, God's going to solve all your problems, guess what? When things start going wrong in your mind, you're going to say, well, God, what up? What's up with this? That cannot be the basis you come to Christ. You must come to Christ because you know your sins need to be forgiven and that through Christ and only through Christ you've been reconciled to God. Now, once you do that, He promises to be with you. And He will never leave you and never forsake you. And so through the good, the bad, and the ugly, He will be with you. And He will not leave you. And then you can at least make sense, some sense, of the things that happen in this world. Because there's some things that happen that are just crazy. I mean, just look at what's happened over the past 2 weeks. You think that there are Japanese Christians over there that somehow, you know, they're more sinful than we are? I think there's probably some Japanese Christians over there that pray more than we do, that seek the Lord more than we do. But they have suffered right along with other Japanese people with the earthquake and the tsunami. See, it's not an issue of what is good happening in our life. It's an issue of who is good and who is right and who has reconciled us. So my question to you is, have you come to that place of being reconciled to God through Christ? If you have not, I challenge you to do that. Take a step towards God. Even this morning, take a step towards God. And if we'll do that, if you take one step towards God, He takes five steps towards you. You can never outdo the Lord. You can never outgive the Lord. So then we move to today, number 8, is the why in recovery, and is this: yield myself to God to be used to bring the good news to others by both my example and my words. Yield myself to God to be used to bring the good news to others by both my example and my words. Now, I really needed to connect to this really with what I just said, but since it was coming up, I kind of waited. When you come to Christ, you've got to understand it is not only about you anymore. When I come to Christ, it's no longer, my life is no longer only about me. And your life, when you come to Christ, is no longer only about you. No, God has a task. God has a challenge, a commission for each one of us. And He calls us to yield ourselves that we might be used in various ways to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, His forgiveness, His love, and His change and transformation to other people, to people all around us. Again, we read just a few moments ago from 2 Corinthians 5, but I want us to read again verse 5:19b, and David Kofelt is going to read that for us. David?
We implore you on Christ's... Oh, wrong verse. Yeah, I guess I could do that too, but I don't know. Oh, we are Christ's ambassador. As through God, we are making appeal through... No. We're making His appeal through us.
Am I on? There I am. When I come here every Sunday and you hear me, challenge you, implore you to come to Christ. Understand, this is not about Tom. I am making my appeal for God. He happens to use this cracked, broken, dirty vessel to bring the message of reconciliation to you all. It's as though God was making His appeal through me. And that's why I say to you sometimes, don't shoot the messenger. You know, I'm just bringing His message. Now, we had just last week at the United Nations, all the ambassadors, the representatives of the countries got together and signed this agreement condemning the atrocities that Muammar Gaddafi is doing on his own citizens, his own people, and to establish a no-fly zone and to do whatever's necessary to protect the citizens of that country, Libya. How does that work? Well, all the countries that are represented in the United Nations, they send an ambassador. And that ambassador represents their country. And indeed, the word ambassador means to act as a representative. And so those ambassadors came and represented their country, and after debating and discussing this, every one of them voted one way or another to either, yes, we should have this resolution, or no, we should not. There was only 8 that abstained from voting altogether. The rest of it was unilateral, yes, that we should do this. How is that possible that they have that authority? Because their country, the leadership of their country, gave them that authority to be their ambassador, to be their representative. So it is with us. Christ has given you and me the authority, the responsibility, the privilege to be His ambassadors. It is as though God were appealing through you and me. Think about that for a minute. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's pretty heavy. God is making His appeal through you and me. Oh, well, God, I really appreciate that offer, but I'd really rather you do that. Thanks, but no thanks. But guess what? God doesn't have any other plan. This is the plan that God's laid out, that you and I would be His representatives, to act as His representatives, ambassadors. And see, this is why it's so important that we represent Him rightly in our word and in our deed, and we give the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news. And indeed, it is good news. Unfortunately, we often, through our flesh, we mix up the message and we turn it into bad news. Hey, did you know that God loves you, but He's going to send you to hell? And you think that's good news? I love the way Paul puts it here. He says, it is though God, excuse me, let me get it right. God was reconciling, verse 19, God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. You see the way God communicates that through Paul? He's telling us, look, you know and I know we have a sin problem. And if you haven't come to that yet, you're still back in principle one, to admit that I've got a problem with sin. I can't control it and I can't overcome it on my own. But God, through Christ, has already done it. It's already done. The provision has been made. It is a gift for us to receive. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and this, the whole thing, is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God so that no one will boast. Because if it was us in any way, we would boast. And so we can't even take credit, you know, for the response of faith. God gives us even that. It is all of Him. So this gift is available for every one of us. So I am called, and you are called, each one of us, to be His ambassadors. He's committed us the message of reconciliation. I don't know about you. I just find that I find that very sobering and very heavy in my life, because I realize, you know, there are neighbors all around me, and some of them know about God, they know about the gospel, but there are some that don't. And I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to reach them. I don't know how to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. I don't think going, at least in this context, I don't think going door to door and, you know, and they're like, you guys Jehovah's Witnesses? You guys Mormons? You know, there's, you know, the enemy has ruined that. I'm not against going door to door, but the enemy has ruined that. And he has set it up that when you go to somebody's door, they've already got a stereotype or preconceived idea in their mind about what you're all about. And so they won't even give you a chance. So what are we to do? Well, are you sharing the message with all those that you come in contact with? That's the bottom line. And it's simple. It's God's simple plan. Are you sharing the message of Jesus Christ with all those that you come in contact with? In whatever context it is. You see, here's how it works. God brings us into different situations and we test the water. We knock on the door. We test the door, right? We begin to discuss about the truth of the gospel of Christ. And, you know, if the person is not interested, if they're resistant, you back off. You see, God's not asking you to do what is impossible. If He is working in people's hearts, and He's the one drawing them by the Spirit, then all we have to do is cooperate with God. See, God already has these opportunities planned for you and me. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Ephesians, verse 5, 15 through 16. Dean Rhodes is going to read that for us.
Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil.
Make the most of every opportunity. It's interesting, you know, some 2,000 years ago, Paul on that day was saying the days are evil. I wonder what he would say now about the days that we live in. We live in some very, very difficult days, don't we? And I know, I understand the pressures that many of us face and the influence of culture around us. I do understand that. But the Scripture calls us to make the most of every opportunity. What does that mean? I'd have to have a mindset, you see, and if you're not with the Lord, seeking Him every day, you won't have this mindset. Because you'll be off in la-la land, thinking about yourself, thinking about the things that you're involved with, and only you. But if you will get with the Lord, He will begin to expand your perspective. To realize, wow, I never thought of this before, but these people I'm in common contact with, they may not know Christ. I remember when I was a young person and I had come to Christ and began to walk with Him, and it just never dawned on me the fact that my relatives, indeed some of my family members, that they may not know Christ. I remember sitting at the kitchen table. I was probably, I don't know, maybe 19 or 20, and I'd rededicated my life to the Lord and was just growing as I was reading His Word. And in that particular day, my sister happened to be over. And we were talking about things, and, you know, it came to my mind that, you know, I wonder if my sister has come to the place of asking Christ into her life. And so we just began to have some discussion, and I was foolish enough to ask that question. I asked that question, and I said, well, you know, Elaine, have you come to the place where you've accepted Christ, you've asked Him into your life, and you know what happened? She burst into tears. God was working in her heart, and she knew she hadn't, but she needed to. She needed to take that step. And it was like ripe fruit ready to be picked. And it was just an opportunity to simply ask a question. And so she did. She prayed right there at the table and asked Christ into her life. And she's been walking with Christ since then all these years. How often do we miss opportunities like that? Simply because we're not tuned in. We've not yielded ourselves. Lord, I need to be tuned into You and Your purposes. Yes, Lord, you know, I understand my life. I've got plans. I've got things I need to do. I've got work I have to do, school I have to go to, all those kinds of things. But, Lord, out of that, beyond that, Lord, could You use me? Could You give me opportunity to just ask a question like that, speak a word about how good You are, how much You love me, how much You love this other person? See, God has already given us and planned these opportunities. Did you know that? He already has these things planned out for us. That's what His Word says. All we have to do is cooperate with Him and just be a witness. You don't have to be a theological Bible scholar. You don't have to have every answer. You know, I've told you this before, but if someone asks you a question and you can't answer it, it's fine to say, you know, that's a great question. I'm not sure if I could fully answer that right now, or I could answer that right now. Can I get back to you on that? That's perfectly acceptable. And you don't look foolish. I don't look foolish, you know. There's questions sometimes that I can't answer. And I have to go back to the drawing board and read the Scripture and seek out an answer, and then I get back to the person. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let those kinds of questions sidetrack you from the main issue. Often people will throw up smoke screens, right? They'll throw, well, what about, you know, the innocent ones in Japan that have died? Well, that's fine and dandy, right? But what does that have to do with your salvation? Right? That's a theological smoke screen. Meaning, you know, I'm not sure about this stuff, and here, I'm going to just kind of put this barrier up so we don't have to deal with it right now. Well, I can simply say, that's a great question, you know. And I'll come back to you with a well-informed answer. But right now, what about you? Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you received His gift and His love for you? God already has these opportunities planned out for us already. Ephesians 2:10. J.R. Faulkner is going to read that for us.
Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance for us to do.
God has prepared in advance good works for you and me to do. And so, don't think that you're on your own. Don't think when an opportunity happens and you start talking to someone, when you bump into somebody that you've been praying for, like Ashley did just a few days ago, you bump into somebody you've been praying for, and all of a sudden, boom, you have an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. Ashley, I didn't plan to do this, but would you come give a quick testimony about that? Not to put you on the spot or anything, but, you know, put you on the spot.
Quickly. I was just having one of those days, actually, where
I decided to stop in to talk to over at the bank, and I got to speak with somebody at the bank that I knew, and we got to have a conversation. I was dealing with someone else, and he said, "Hey, you know my wife," and I got to talk to them about the Lord, you know, through that conversation. And then I go outside, and I'm getting ready to leave, and here's a guy that I knew probably, I guess it's been maybe 10 years ago, maybe even longer than that I was praying for at the Methodist Church. And he was, he had had a very rough time. And then it's funny how things work, too, because he actually, my thing is, if you don't already know now, is marriage, and especially, you know, with men, you know, helping them to understand and to be better husbands and fathers. And sure enough, he's having a rough time. But he sits there, and I just had to, you got to take the natural, the things of the natural. That's the conversations that we always have. And we were talking about the natural, the business, and how things are going, and how they're not going, of course. And I just took that step across that line, and just said, "Man, how you been doing?" There was a time I know a long time ago that I'd pray for you that you would you know, seek the Lord out. And what's going on with that? And of course, that's a hard thing to say sometimes. I haven't seen him for a long, long time. And he said, "Praise the Lord." He said, I've come to know the Lord in the last five months, and I'm going to church." So you just never know when that day is going to come where you get to see, you know, something that your prayers have been, you know, your prayers have been answered. And then it wasn't but just a few seconds later, I'm getting ready to leave, and two other guys I've been praying for, I guess probably about a year now. They're right on that edge of coming, you know, of asking those questions, and they pull up in the parking lot at the same place, and I just turned right around, and I was like, "Oh, well, hey, how you guys doing? Imagine this," you know what I mean? And I walked over again, and it's still hard, you know, that taking that step, being that one that is the, you know, the mouthpiece of God, you know what I mean, is a very, it takes braveness. But if you'll do it once, and then you'll do it again, it'll slowly but surely become more natural that you just walk right down that road. And I just was able to walk over and just walk right into another conversation about the Lord. I spent all morning talking about Jesus. It was awesome. So.
Now, Ashley's been doing this a while, and, you know, he's one of those shy ones, so, you know, he doesn't like to talk too much, so the Lord's stretching him. Now, the Lord knows your temperament. He knows your level of comfortableness, and He will push you out of your comfort zone, but He's not going to leave you out there so that you're just, you know, completely destroyed. He won't. He won't. Even if you mess... Here, listen to this. You still with me? Say amen. Even if you mess it up, He's still got it under control. You know, there's been many times, and you would think, okay, well, you know, Pastor Tom, you're a preacher, and you've been trained, and you've gone to seminary. But, you know, there's been times when I've had opportunity to share about Christ, share the gospel, and I've blown it. I mean, you're trying to get it out, you're trying to get the words, and it just comes out completely wrong, not the way you wanted it to come out. And you're like, "Oh, man, did I screw that thing up," you know? And you know what? The Lord takes that, and He uses it. People will hear what God wants them to hear, even if you mess it up. And so the pressure's off. Understand, He's prepared in advance good works for you to do. And so, have you yielded yourself to be used of God to bring the message, the message of the gospel? And are you walking it? We've talked about this part. Are you walking it out in your life through my example and my words? See, you can't share a message that's not true in your life. You know, if people see in your life something that's not true, it's not valid, then it's going to be very difficult for you to share that. That doesn't mean you have to be perfect. You just have to be in process. You have to be in process. It means, "Lord, I'm taking one step at a time, one day at a time. I'm stepping, I'm following, I'm seeking You, Lord." And the Lord's going to deal with you little by little in those layers. But are you yielding yourself? You see, part of the problem with us as people is when we get stuck in our flesh, whatever it is, if it's a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, an addiction, whatever it might be, if we get stuck there, you've got to replace that bad habit, that bad hang-up, that bad thing that I'm dealing with. You've got to replace it with something that's good and positive. This is one of those things. To recognize, you know, we by nature are self-centered. We by nature are self-focused. And so to yield myself that God might use me for others, it goes against the grain of our nature. But it's the cure for us. Do you see it? It's the cure. If I'm self-centered by nature, God wants to cure that by forcing me, pushing me out to help others. Now, it may not only be words. You know, God may have you preach a sermon first without any words. God may have you go and work on somebody's car and help them repair it. God may have you go down and fix somebody's plumbing and not charge them for it. You preaching a sermon without any words. Someone has broken down on the side of the road and you stop and you offer to help, change the tire, help them get gas, help them fix it. Make sure that they've got someone that they can call for a tow. And you just, out of love, concern, you stay there and you are preaching a message without words. You see, that's a part of it too. You see, when you do that, you are setting it up for the next time God brings either you or someone else when they're ready. You see, sometimes we miss that part of the sermon. We want to jump right to the words. And people want to see what you're all about before they hear what you're all about. What's that old saying? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They want to know that it's genuine, it's authentic in your life. See, if we're telling people, oh yes, you can know Jesus Christ and you can know His forgiveness and you can be transformed, and they're sitting looking at us saying, okay, well, why aren't you transformed? Why haven't you changed? Why haven't you overcome in your life? The message has to be matched up with the walk. Again, doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I'm in process. And so this morning, as we close, my challenge to us, as we looked at this word, have you yielded yourself to God? That you might be used to bring this good news to other people. Understanding my life's not just about me, it's about others. And God wants you to be His ambassador. God has given you a job. Be His ambassador. Be His representative. Take His message to those that you come in contact with every day. Every day. And of course, we are desperately relying on the Lord. We know we can't do it in our own strength. Lord, I can't make this thing happen. I can't convince this person. It has to be You working that brings it about. But I don't have to be the one that brings them to Christ. Like, you know, I just thought about this, Ashley, as you were sharing your testimony. The gentleman said to you, oh, I've come to Christ, right? So you got to share in that joy that he's already come to Christ. But somebody had to ask the question of him at some point, have you come to Christ? What if that person hadn't asked that question? God may have sent Ashley to ask the question. But he got the joy of hearing someone's already been there. They've already watered, planted, and Lord, You've reaped the harvest. Now I get to water it with joy and encouragement. Isn't that beautiful? This is an encouraging thing. This is a beautiful thing. God wants to use you and me. Yes, you and me. This is not just the preacher's job. In fact, you guys, I know you don't believe me, but it's true. You will be more effective with most of your contacts and your friends, you'll be more effective than I could ever be. I think of some of you young people here. How many of you have friends that you think would really, you know, listen to me? Would even give me a chance? A preacher? Oh, he's like, you know, he's like those other pedophile guys. Listen, I know. I'm lumped in with them. Every time a pastor does something wrong, it reflects on every pastor. It doesn't matter if it's a priest, or, you know, whatever church they're in, it reflects on us. And so people have a built-in barrier. It's so funny, sometimes I know I'm done. Sometimes I'm talking with somebody, and maybe I'm meeting somebody with a friend, and, you know, we're having a good conversation. The moment they say, oh, this is Pastor Tom, it's like, up goes the wall. And they're like, oh, you know, this kind of thing. I've literally seen that happen. And you guys that know me, I'm easy to talk to. I'm just a regular guy. But there's something about that. You will be more effective in reaching people, your friends, your contacts, than I ever will be. You will be in places that I won't be able to go. Your workplace, your school, your college, whatever it is, you will be more effective because you're there and you have a relationship, you have contact with them. God wants to use you and me. Let's be His ambassadors. Amen? Let's be His ambassadors. Let's pray. Father, what a calling You've given to us. What a challenge to represent You. And Lord, we know we don't always do it very well. Today, Father, we yield in a new way, a fresh way. We yield ourselves to You. And we ask, Father, that You would strengthen us and enable us by the Holy Spirit to be good ambassadors, good representatives of Yours. And Lord, what a joy and a privilege to be able to share the good news with those all around us, Lord. To bring hope, to bring love, to bring the message of transformation and reconciliation to those who have no hope. So Lord, we commit ourselves to You. We leave the results in Your hands, Lord, because we know it's not up to us. But Lord, we thank You that You would have such trust in us to give us this opportunity. What a privilege. Help us, Lord, to walk worthy. We recommit ourselves to You this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Mark and Brittany to come on back up. One of those songs, you guys choose which one you want to leave. Maybe Blessed Be Your Name. Let's worship the Lord together as we close out. Amen? Let's stand as we worship Him.
nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. As we close the service, if you need prayer for any reason, we invite you to come up. If you want to talk some more about receiving Christ into your life, come on up and talk with us. God bless you all. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you go and walk close to Him this week. In the name of Jesus. Amen.